Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Faking Movies. I am, of course, Lee. How's everybody today?
Good. I was just watching Seth. I thought, like, surely he's going to do a goof. And then he was making a lot of, like, movements and nothing happened. I was very surprised.
No, I was...
Seth, would you like to weigh in on that?
I was...
More at 11.
I was adding something to my notes.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, just, you're always the perfectionist, our dear friend Seth, editing his movie up to the last.
Because I definitely, like, started writing it 10 minutes before we started recording.
Yeah, starting and finishing his movie up to the last.
Yes.
So that will be apparent when we get into it.
Well, hey,
no doubt.
I mean,
no,
they can't all be award winners here. Before we get too deep this episode, just a reminder, check out our Twitter, check out our Instagram, check out our websites. We've got some good content on there.
Maybe.
A lot of fun stuff. And thank you to all of our really great listeners and our friends who help us run those accounts. So yeah. Thank you, guys.
Hey, not to derail early, but we have been saying for maybe... maybe 25 episodes, hey, check out our websites that we're definitely gonna put stuff on. And so it's been about 4 months of like, hey, next week we'll do the thing, and boy, we haven't.
God, it's all about accountability. If you say it and promise it to someone,
but until someone complains, it's fine.
Oh well, I mean, sure, no one has complained. This is true, but like, yeah, the whole like accountability argument, I think empirically is false.
Well, that's because I don't care about our fans. I don't care about what they think of me. No, that's not true either. I want them to love me.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like all I care about. Like, literally,
I'm very
all
needy
I care
in
about.
Real life. I don't know if that comes across here.
Laziness. It's laziness.
It's ultimate laziness.
It is laziness.
Very clear.
Laziness and drinking, mostly.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Speaking of which, how many of us are drinking a drink with creme de violette tonight?
At least two.
I am not. I can go get some if we want to party down.
I just want to let our fans know how fancy we all are.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
We fancy boys.
I'll take my violette creme.
Screm? Nah, it doesn't. Screm? Doesn't work quite as well.
I don't like that.
I bet if you mix those two things, it would be very cloudy. So
I bet it would not taste great. I could. Well, we'll see. We'll see how the evening goes.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. We'll find out. So as everyone I'm sure knows, we thrive on our cinematic blind spots. This week, Seth is going to be faking a movie for us, and this blind spot is really just kind of... It made me think about a blind spot that Hollywood currently has, me and Zach can talk about that more as the episode goes on, but...
I don't know what the hell that's going to be, because the actors you gave me are not great.
Hollywood has forgotten Pauly Shore, and we're really fucking pissed off.
Okay,
about it.
Okay. All right.
No, that's not actually I do stand by that statement.
It's actually connected to that. And with that, Seth, did you want to let everyone know what movie we're doing?
Yeah. So the movie film you fellas gave me was a Son.
I think a video movie would be more accurate for this one.
I like movie film, like what Fenton from Home Movies would always call it.
Well, I went down a real Home Movies hole last week with you guys.
That's true. Anyway, the movie film is Son-in-Law, starring in the order in which they were given to me, Polly the Weasel Shore.
Nailed it.
The
Nailed
Weasel.
It.
Yeah, I'm not gonna do that.
Oh, well, we will. So don't you worry.
Oh, yeah. God. Okay. Carla Gugino.
Drinking game for this episode, everyone. Every time we say the Weasel, you gotta drink.
Yeah. Correct pronunciation on Gugino. Well done. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, I am a linguist.
Sure.
Fair. No, yeah. That's bullshit. That doesn't mean shit. Lane Smith, who's like a real old man, that guy.
Yeah.
People, I think, at least I most recognize him as Perry White from the Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, the Dean Cain, Terry Hatcher Superman show.
Yeah, I think that's a good cultural touchstone for me as well. He's just kind of... Wasn't he in the show The Pretender? Ah, it doesn't matter. Maybe I'm thinking of another like random old white guy. Oh, it doesn't matter.
I'd have to get back to you on that, but that seems infinitely possible.
Yeah, certainly. I loved that show. That was a fun show.
My mom also loved that show.
Well, The Pretender was a very handsome man. I don't remember what the actor's name is, but
Saturday nights at 8.
Was it Dylan
Seth
McDermott?
Was sitting on his couch watching The Pretender.
No. Dylan that McDermott, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah. I think he looked like Dylan McDermott. I don't know that it was him, though.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so Polly the Weasel Shore, Carla Gugino, Lane Smith, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, and then as a last minute, you guys gave me Flea?
Yeah. It's very...
Yeah, we both started watching the movie and were appalled at ourselves for not including him.
That's true. Okay. It's very confusing when you say his name, like, Polly the Weasel Shore. It sounds like you're arraigning him in court. when it's not the whistle, and it's just Polly, and then confused, the Weasel Shore? It's like it has it on his ID, and a cop is looking him in the eyes going, what the fuck is going on?
Excuse me, Carlo, sir, for the record, we'll need you to state your full name.
It's Carlo the Cockroach Smithson.
Now, you say that your name is Reginald Vell Johnson, but how would people most know you?
Carl Winslow.
Ladies and gentlemen, clearly this is the man who murdered Urkel.
Wow. Okay.
I like it.
Some beautiful Family Matters alt mysteries. Yeah.
It's a pretty good show. You know what I like to do sometimes on Hulu is just put on a random episode of Family Matters and leave the room and just watch, like, listen for the reaction of other people.
I thought you were going to say, and hope someone comes into my house to rob me and then leaves because they're so confused as to what is happening.
Why is there just Family Matters playing in this weird Western-themed house?
Yeah. No, it's great when someone's like reading a book and you mind if I put TV on? No, go for it. And you watch like something that you actually want to watch for a little while, and then you put on the random Family Matters, and then you leave and you just see what happens.
Oh, there goes all my friends.
That's
oops, so, no friends.
That's a weird thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway,
so who's in this movie?
What are we doing?
Endlessly interrupted. Yeah,
so again,
son-in-law.
It's Polly the Weasel, sure. Carla Gugino, Lane Smith, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, and Flea?
Question mark?
Yeah. I mean, he's there.
Yeah. On my notes, it just has a question mark. So
sure.
Yeah, he was a wild card. We didn't expect you to include him if you had already been working on your movie, which turns out...
You guys know I wasn't working on my
movie. Why would
we
have assumed that at all?
You know that every single week I leave it to literally 10 minutes before we start recording.
It's true.
That's just how I roll.
Way. Yep.
Okay. So, and first off, I remember texting you guys and being like, I thought this movie was going to be way too... It's too easy to do what I think is the actual movie. Which is that, like, Lane Smith is clearly a dad, and Tiffany Amber Thiessen or Carla are, like, a daughter, and they have to marry Pauly Shore, who's like a piece of
Seth,
shit.
Seth, every woman is someone's daughter.
Yeah, but the focal daughter of Lane Smith.
Think about that next time you're objectifying our actresses. Like,
yikes. No, you're not wrong. I mean, it's right there in the title, son-in-law. So.
Yeah. The title is son-in-law.
It's pretty cookie cutter. You're right. Yeah.
For sure. And there's an old guy and an annoying guy and two young
ladies.
Women.
And yeah. Two young women. Yeah. And then Flea, I have as like a shitty brother or ex or something. I don't really care. Mm. But I decided to try to go a little deeper on this. So
to a shoe convention, so to speak.
Yeah, so I did a bunch of linguistic bullshits, and if you want me to tell you about those, I can. Cause...
Obviously, yeah, yes. Of
yeah,
course.
Run through
yes.
them. Come on, what do you take us for?
Okay, well, I mean, son or son is, you know, of course, from Latin sonos, meaning sound,
speaker
right?
Speaker system. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's
expensive.
It's
bullshit speaker system.
Sono, and then sonus is, I think, a participle. It might be.
Rome burned as Caligula tried to hook up his sonos.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I hear they're very easy to hook up, just wildly expensive. Yeah.
And I.
Where's the HDMI?
Was that supposed to be like a Roman?
That was Caligula.
An old Roman Jew.
Hmm. Where could the HDMI be? I don't know. Perhaps I should go have an orgy? I don't.
Oh. For the listener at home, we use the messaging app we started using allows us to put names in our screens. And Seth's is currently Count Alfred Chocula, which is apparently the full name of Count Chocula. And I think I slipped into a Count Chocula.
Oh, yeah.
And I was trying to fight it.
He bribed you, yeah.
Remember that goof from so long ago when he had diabetes? I do.
Oh, sure. Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Being a chocolate vampire. Anyway, so that was one idea, was using the word son as, you know, sound-oriented, and I looked up different versions of the word law, in Upper Sorbian, which is now a non-extant language, it's from the Balkans.
Implied, yes.
It's a word similar to lion, like in Proto-Slavonic, you have like lyev and things like that, which means lion. And anyway, I abandoned that, and then I looked
sound lion.
I think that's probably good. Yeah.
and then I looked to Welsh, where law is a soft mutation of ngla. Which means
which is not a word.
Ngla is a word. It's a particular what is it? Nasal mutation of the word for rain. I could have done something involving sonos and rain, where I had like the Welsh having to deal with Romans or some bullshit like that, and make.
But I kind of just did that with Citizen Ruth.
Oh, yeah, a little bit.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. We've had a lot of, like, weird, anachronistic, old-timey things in recent memory.
Yeah, we have.
So we
go in phases, don't we?
Yeah, so I decided not to do son ngla, a Welsh / Roman, probably romantic comedy about the sound of rain.
Oh boy!
But that okay. one could have been fun.
I kind of want that movie now.
I know, yeah. But I couldn't figure out how to get the Welsh and the Romans together. I just
a tale
it was a little
as
difficult.
Old as time.
I guess an alternate history where instead of pushing north to fight the Celts, they go south.
Yeah, and I thought about like Flea as kind of like a barbarian warlord sort of situation.
Clearly,
but
definitely,
like, yeah. But
nailed it.
I'm
willing to give this movie an 8.5 right now.
Yeah, I eventually abandoned that and went with something a little different called Son-Law.
That's just you're just. It's getting more and more subtle, and I love it.
No, it's not. It sounds real stupid.
I'm gonna need you to like spell that so when Zach posts the description for the episode, he
it's let the record show.
It's S-U-N apostrophe N-L-A-W. It's like sun, the sun.
Sure.
And then in the common steak and shake parlance.
Yeah. Sun. Okay.
Or the Guns and Roses.
Yeah. Sun and law.
Okay.
But that's ultimately not important to my stupid fucking plot. Here we go.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Wait, so the title isn't important,
well,
which is a big departure for us, I will say.
Well, it sort of is, but like it's a little contrived.
I mean, they always are. That seems fine. Yeah.
Is it?
Okay.
Right. Have at it.
So, this takes place in the near future. Let's say, 2050s or something. And engineering has made space travel, like, possible, but it's still not really, like, economical or comfortable. Like, it's mostly for research and occasional transport to a colony or some other bullshit.
Okay.
There aren't like Star Wars style starfighters and shit.
It's a real Kim Stanley Robinson kind of space travel story.
Yeah, I mean it's like old Soviet sci-fi. Like if you've seen the old Solaris, not the newer version with
not the Clooney remake,
not the Clooney remake, but the older Solaris, or like anything like Ursula Le Guin sort of wrote. You know those like Left Hand of Darkness and The Dispossessed and all sorts of things like that, you know, like
hey,
where
can
there's
we,
space.
Can we pause for a second? Fucking R.I.P. Ursula Le Guin.
Yeah.
Bummer. Ugh.
I don't know who that person is.
That's all. Zach, get yourself some books, because we got a long night ahead of us.
I have a first edition of Left Hand of Darkness over here with the dust jacket intact.
Okay.
That's amazing.
Bought it at a used bookstore in my hometown for $12.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. I know, it's a beautiful book. But yeah.
Anyway,
so it's like that style of space travel where like things are like it's still possible to travel, but it's kind of shitty, right? Like early Foundation maybe. That was also the case in some of that old Foundation stuff, though nobody wants to read the Foundation. Anyway, so it's that time period, what late 21st century.
Sure.
So Lane Smith is a scientist and is like the PI of some mysterious project because this movie was filmed in the 90s, and of course, an old white dude has to be the PI, principal and investigator, like the weird scientist in charge, I guess, is probably. Because, you know, everything is still shitty despite the Clinton boom years.
We had a president who jogged to McDonald's. Well, that's pretty crazy. What kind of crazy hijinks is our current president getting?
Oh, no. Are we alleging that Clinton did good things for women? Because, boy, I don't think that's the case.
Oh, no, I'm not. Okay. No. I'm just saying that, like, I don't know. The Clinton boom years, I was briefly hopeful.
Oh, I mean, there were good things about them, but yeah, sure.
We've talked about this a lot. The 90s were a very optimistic time because financially...
Because the economy was booming, yeah.
Yeah.
So Carla is a physicist, and Tiffany Amber Thiessen is an astronomer, and then Flea, in an uncharacteristically straight-laced role, is like a lab tech or an engineer or something.
Huh. Like your take on Flea. Very good. Yeah.
Playing against type, okay.
And then Polly Shore is a research assistant, and in a totally characteristic role is a total fuck-up.
Sorry, Polly who?
Oh, Polly the Weasel. Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So a very Biodome-esque role.
Oh, shit.
I'm not quite as stupidly slapstick as that.
Well, he's actually part of the science-y bits, right? He's not like... a deviant that breaks in and fucks everything up.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember the second half of Biodome, but he helps them achieve stasis by the end of the movie.
Even though William Atherton
attempts to sabotage them.
Murder them, yes.
No one wants to remember Biodome, anything about
Biodome. I do.
Kylie
Minogue
is in Biodome.
Every single day.
Oof.
The best Baldwin brother is in Biodome.
Steven?
Yeah. What?
Noted conservative, noted idiot Stephen Baldwin.
Yeah.
I honestly feel like in the last few years, William has made a serious push to be the best Baldwin. Ooh, and
yeah.
That's fucking saying something.
Yeah, yeah, it well, really is.
Mostly by just doing nothing, I think. Like,
yeah.
Sort of being out of it, yeah.
He had that great run on 30 Rock, though, so.
Oh, yeah, Billy Baldwin was briefly there impersonating Alec Baldwin, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Which is pretty wonderful.
Yeah. So, your movie, there's Space Lab and Pauly Shore's a fuck-up.
Yeah. And so at the beginning Louisa. Of the movie, of course, we see, like, a lot of, you know, lab junk happening, and we establish general character traits and, you know, normal movie setup stuff. And we establish that they are studying the sun in order to investigate some, like, you know, it's mid to late 90s, so it's, you know, all the popular time-space warping theories that are all the rage, in the mid to late 90s.
Yep.
And through a series of characteristic fuck-ups, Pauly, the weasel, Shore, ends up plunging them into some kind of time warp. And, you know, we have dubious science through all of this, of course.
Yeah.
This is good. I like this.
And Tiffany and Carla and Pauly, the weasel, Shore, manage to get into a shielded room of some kind as the ship is sucked up into the time warp. And, like, here is where the dubious science really comes in, because, like, it's a time-proof room because they knew that they were studying space-time. And it's made of, like, fucking platinum and styrofoam. And the styrofoam, and clearly an explicitly environmentalist message, they're like, oh, no, styrofoam never degrades.
Oh, and that's the time-proof bit? Okay.
Yeah. And
it's also fucking lined with Twinkies? What the fuck?
Well, and platinum, notably, doesn't break down very fast, right? Like a platinum radioactive isotopes have a half-life of, like, 2 to the 9th years.
Oh.
Or, I mean, 10 to the 9th years. So, like...
Now, how fast does coming tonight break down?
Oh, my favorite mineral. Oh, what a... named for Cummington, Massachusetts. Cummington breaks down in, like, 3 seconds. So,
well.
Not satisfying for anyone.
Yeah.
Not very time-proof.
Ugh, okay. Amphiboles. Am I right?
I don't know.
Are you? Yes, I am. Anyway, these three are in that quote time safe room. And they come out of it to find the ship totally, like, decayed and shitty, and it's all horror movie styles, but it's also sort of, like, mixed in with comedy. Like, it's a really, this movie is a hard line to walk because it's both funny and super tense. It's like a mid-90s action comedy horror movie. That's kind of what
So Shane Black wrote this movie.
Yeah, I could see that.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's funny, but it's also super tense. And they're being stalked by, of course, Flea, who is, like, again, in dubious science, de-evolved into, like, a Cro-Magnon man sort of thing with, like, an enlarged cranium and is, like, stronger and is hunched and is clearly not wearing clothes anymore. And I think...
Yeah, like his character on Wild Thornberries.
Oh, sure.
Did he play that, the small
he
child?
He did.
Oh.
Yes.
That's... Wow. Yep.
Yeah, but I think Flea would play that sort of thing really well. Like,
oh, it has to
he
be.
He has,
yeah.
like, occasional points of lucidity, but in general is mostly, like, just crazy and also hamming it up, and it's real fun.
Yep.
And they, like, run through the ship, and eventually they find Lane Smith, who is clearly insane and is ranting about how they shouldn't have tried to look too closely at the laws of physics. And is being all crazy and, you know, yelling all kinds of religious stuff about how they're suffering God's wrath for, you know, looking too close to whatever. You know, this is pretty...
So it's... It's like the Gary of Sons of the Zach, so it's kind of like the end of Sunshine.
I never saw the end of Sunshine.
Yeah, it's because it sucks.
Yeah, I got really bored and gave up halfway through that movie.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay.
Hot takes.
Yeah,
literally because it's a movie about the sun.
Yeah, but they have to like restart it by injecting a nuclear bomb into it or some shit.
I don't think you could edit any of this out. We're just talking about Danny Boyle and how much he sucks now.
Yeah, Jesus.
Oh dear.
Anyway, like at some like later on, like Lane Smith and no Flea like battle, and they seemingly destroy each other, and then things are like light and fun again, and our three surviving people try to figure out a way back to the present, and of course, Carla Gugino and Tiffany Amber Thiessen are both super competent, and you know, Polly Shore, the Weasel. Sure, is still a total fuck up and is utterly useless, but it's jokey and fun, and eventually they make it back to the present by using a makeshift new ship out of the useful parts of the old shitty decayed ship, and in the final scene, of course, we zoom in on a window and have Flea making crazy faces peeking in, and then a hard cut to black.
Okay. Right, because it's, you know, like a... In the 50s, it would be the end ?
Yeah, mm-hmm, exactly.
Also, so Pauly Shore has, like, literally no agency in this movie. He might as well be a talking dog, for all it matters.
Oh, yeah.
He's mm-hmm. in this at all.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's playing himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Which is a thing that Pauly Shore does.
It's kind of the only thing he does, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's, the movie is The Sun, The Laws of Physics.
Oh! Is there a parenthetical in there?
No.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. All right. Okay.
Hey, I gotta say, I think there's definitely some room in my heart for, I mean, we'll get to ratings later, for a fun time travel horror romp. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how to pull it off really well, but I think it could be good.
The tonal shifts seem like they'd be difficult, but yeah. I mean,
I think if you had a really, really good screenwriter and a really good cinematographer and director, you could probably pull it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you just had like
everything important to
a
movie.
Thing about it. And then you have a really good screenwriter, cinematographer, and director, and you hire fucking Polly the Weasel Shore. I mean, come on.
Well, that's not gonna happen. I was
gonna
say, I hate to spoil it, but we ain't got a lot of money on this one, boys, so we're scraping the bottom of the barrel once we get to actors. Yeah.
Oop a boof. Okay. All right, fellas. So what is the real version of this?
Yeah. All right, I'll give you the IMDb, and Lee can give you the longer one, as is customary.
Yeah, I can. Mm-hmm. I'll go over it.
Wonderful.
Okay, Son-in-Law, I believe 1992.
Okay,
somewhere in there.
IMDb, having gotten a taste of college life, a drastically changed farm girl returns home for Thanksgiving break with her best friend, a flamboyant party animal, who is clearly a fish out of water in a small farm town. Guess mm-hmm. who's who? Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, so
earlier when you said, like, I don't want to do the obvious thing, it's that, pretty much.
Yeah. It's more or less the obvious thing. Mm-hmm. I think this one was more of just...
Oh, so they used the Welsh word, ngla, meaning rain, and... No, I can't.
Sure.
No, I'm done.
I think we mostly wanted to give you this one because me and Zach clearly have some nostalgia for this movie.
Oh, 100%.
And plus, you know, it's always fun to see you go off book in a crazy way. Mm-hmm, so
indeed.
But let me hit you with a little more detailed description. Carla Gugino is going to college. Mm-hmm. She's from, I think it's South Dakota.
North Dakota.
And Lane Smith is her dad. You know, her whole family moves her to college out in California. She leaves behind her boyfriend, they're going to stay together forever. College isn't going to wreck their relationship kind of thing. She moves in. Pauly Shore is her crazy party animal resident advisor. And one of the things I think
we're...
Pauly... The Weasel Shore.
Okay.
Hey, buddy.
Jesus, I'm sorry that
I think one of the things that made that happen. I think one of the things we'll probably talk about a little bit is the timeline of this movie, because it is rushed. both... In the sense of the movie itself and like the actual like viewing of the movie, things everything happens all at once. So she's in college, feels really out of place. It's Halloween and she's gonna leave. She wants to leave, and Pauly Shore convinces her to stick around, and he shows her the California lifestyle. She gets really into it. They become very good friends.
So
gets to
weed? Is it weed?
No, because this is technically a movie that was produced by Disney, so definitely not.
Yeah, there's some...
Okay,
there's like,
so it's bobsledding.
There's definite beer drinking, but there's not the usual, like, immense drug humor and whatnot. Of a
Although there is, like, an actual girl-on-girl kiss in the movie that kind of surprised me for the time period.
They're in 92? Yeah. That's...
Well, it's used as a gay panic moment, and the conservative family is like, what in the world is this?
Yeah, it's like, oh, this is my girlfriend. Yeah,
sure, yeah.
That happens earlier. But anyway, she gets into the lifestyle. She's going to go home for Thanksgiving, and she figures out kind of that her boyfriend, who she's grown apart from, is going to propose, and she panics. And also finds out that Pauly Shore doesn't have plans, so she invites him to come with her as, like, a buffer.
Okay, sure.
Then we get to the second fish-out-of-water plot of the movie, because the first one is hers.
Yeah.
Where he meets the whole family, and they pretend to be engaged, so, like, to kind of...
Oh, to deflect against the boyfriend?
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
And what? He ends up, like... okay. Becoming really good friends with her family. Like, her and her brother have a lot of shared interests.
Is the brother Flea?
No.
Her brother is played by the kid from The Big Green.
Yeah, the little ginger, or the chubby ginger kid.
I mean, I remember, but I don't remember the guy's name.
So, yeah, I mean, why would you?
I was going to say, you know how Pauly Shore is really endearing and you would really like him if you met him in real life? That happens in this movie. Oh, shit.
Yeah, I don't know that's
I don't
accurate.
Think that's
but...
an accurate portrayal of that person at all.
This was one of my points. Like, he wins over the entire very conservative, very North Dakota family. And I was like...
The whole town, actually.
I was like, yeah, they would have just, like, murdered this guy. Like, literally murdered him. I don't understand how this... Yeah.
Oof.
But anyway, he has his moment, like, he becomes friends with the brother. He actually saves the grandfather's life by doing CPR.
Sure enough.
The father starts to begrudgingly respect him because he, like, puts in an effort to learn how to be a farmer. mother, he gives her a makeover, and the parents fuck for the first time in, like, forever.
Disney movie.
Jesus
Disney
Christ.
Movie.
Yeah, this is technically a movie made by a company that Disney owned.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing is the ex-boyfriend's going to throw a bachelor party, and at the bachelor party, Tiffany Amber Thiessen is one of the friends from high school who is apparently dating the ex-boyfriend. Like, I guess they were cheating
the
whole time.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I kind of figured that the boyfriend was not faithful and was, in fact, like, wanted to get engaged in order to, you know, deflect his infidelity.
A real Judd Nelson in St. Elmo's Fire kind of situation.
Sure enough.
Oh, what a shitty, shitty movie person.
So they throw him a bachelor party, and there's also, like, the farmhand that works for the family hates Pauly Shore, too. So he and the ex-boyfriend conspire and...
Murder him.
Tiffany, well,
and we
Tiffany
take a
Thiessen.
dark turn. And the rest of the movie...
Just you wait.
Okay. Sorry.
So they get Tiffany Thiessen, like, to strip for him at the bachelor party.
Sure.
And
Which
they
is,
end up drugging...
That's
drugging,
super fucking weird. She's not a stripper in real life. She's just a girl.
She's just a girl in town.
Yeah.
They end up drugging both her and Pauly Shore and dumping them in the barn on Thanksgiving morning to make it look like he was cheating.
Yeah, sure.
And then she, after they both leave, she discovers that they were drugged, and they come back, and the villains get their comeuppance, and mm-hmm. the family embraces him, mm-hmm. and they finally clear the air, kind of, about their relationship. He's like, oh yeah, we're gonna wait. We're gonna not get married right away. And everybody's like, cool, we're all friends and happy now.
Yeah.
Oh,
and that's more or less the movie.
Carla was gonna spill the beans and be like, we were never actually gonna get engaged. And he, like, interrupts her and goes, like, we're gonna wait, because they've now fallen in love. Like,
well, yeah, that too. And he basically spends the whole movie, like, running interference for her.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
that's cool. I've done that.
He's a surprisingly genuine character. Like, it's weird,
that's
but he is.
Weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where does Flea come in?
Oh, he's a tattoo artist in California who gives Carlo Gugino a tattoo and has, like, one line.
His line is, you pick, I stick. That's it.
That is terrible for a number of reasons.
Yep. This is why we missed Flea in the billing, because he was certainly not in the top 30.
Yeah, I mean, that's movie. Like the worst. That's the worst kind of tattoo artist.
Yeah, it's pick something off the wall, fuckos.
I mean, she gets like a butterfly or something. It's pretty generic. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, of course, but still.
Like, I feel like that was a very 90s thing, though. Like, my conception of tattoo parlors at that point were you go in and pick a design that they had available.
Oh, yes. I mean, for the most part, in this shitty college town where I live, like, that's still the case. And it's really upsetting as a person with, like, a, like, bespoke, very complicated tattoo.
Yeah, you boys are both tattoo men. Like, have you picked any of yours off the wall?
Oh, God, nope. No. I drew this myself.
The only one that I have that wasn't really picked was one that friend of the show, well, not really friend of the show, Kristen, picked off the internet at random, and then we went and got them.
Okay, well,
that's
with you.
That's a little different.
But not off a wall, for sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Off the internet. Close enough.
Off the internet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about for this movie, Zach?
So many things. I guess.
Oh, good, because I was saying to you earlier, like, there's not a lot of background info for this movie.
That doesn't surprise me.
So we're gonna be some real good new critics on this one and stick to the text mostly.
Yep, I think so.
Like that awesome cartoon from the mid to late 90s, The Critic.
Yeah,
John Lovitz.
You can do that.
No, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. You should watch that. Take that, Guernica.
Authorial intention is a lie, at least in the terms of talking about the son-in-law. So,
oh my God! Okay, interesting. Interesting hot take. Oh, so we're gonna get into literary criticism for a while.
Yep.
Oh no. Oh no.
No, it's fucking Pauly Shore.
The first thing I noted in that vein, this is very much peak the Wheeze. I don't know why I like this, because it's like,
I don't like that. I don't like
genuinely horrible. But man, like, it really takes me back. Like, Seth, we were talking about Biodome and shit, and I genuinely love Biodome as well. Like, I think he's ad-libbing, like, literally most of this movie. Like, he's got these crucial plot exposition lines, but they constitute maybe like 20% of the whole overall nonsense. Mm. And like, you can tell when the director was like, hey, you have to say like this line because it conveys the story that we're trying to tell, because he does it very robotically and it feels very unnatural. And then the rest is just him being like
him ad-libbing. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. And he's doing the Pauly Shore thing. So there's a couple lines.
Pauly the Weasel.
Sorry, Pauly the Whistle, sure.
Hey, buddy.
So
I regret it every time that I remind you of that.
The first thing he sees, the first person in North Dakota, he goes up to them, touches their face, and then goes, so you're inbred, you know, where your mom's your dad and your dad's your brother. And I was like,
he keeps saying that to people.
I like the math on that, but I don't think that makes any goddamn sense.
No, sure don't.
Yeah. What else? Oh, when they're in college, Brendan Fraser makes an Encino Man cameo.
Friend of the show,
Brendan
Fraser?
I was just gonna point that out. Yeah. This is like peak Louisa. This is his follow up to Encino Man. Mm-hmm. and
Brendan
Fraser.
You mean Blast from the Past?
Nope.
Oh.
No. I'm talking about Shores. This is Shores.
I know. I was.
Oh, okay.
I was making a goof about how they're both like frozen people. So.
Oh, sure. Very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice.
Okay.
So yeah, and at the Halloween party, Brendan Fraser is dressed up like his character from Encino Man, and Pauly Shore walks over to him and says, "Hey, great costume, buddy." Yep. And then it's heavily implied that it is that character. Mm-hmm. And
he picks a fake plastic frog out of his Chiquita Banana Lady costume and then like bites its
Pauly
head
Shore
off.
Is dressed as the lady in the Tutti Frutti hat.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he goes away. Brendan Fraser doesn't even have a speaking line. Like, he just walks out. Yeah, that's very good. What else? Oh, okay. I think we'll get to the more deep points on this later, but he says...
a lot of philosophical questions raised in this movie.
Honestly,
for sure.
Kinda, yeah.
Oh, shit, really?
Really?
You guys should see Lee's face. Where that was just like the most inscrutable questioning face that I've seen him put on. It's wonderful.
So this is when Carla Gugino wants to leave college, and he takes her out for this like day on the town in California, as Lee mentioned.
And give her a makeover.
Yeah. So he shows her a picture of himself, and he goes, "Becca, I tossed the spectacles, grew the dew, guzzled some brew, and this is college, man." And I was like, holy shit, this is PCU. This is just exactly like every movie in the 90s was the same. Like, it's like nerd guy turns into cool guy, and then that guy turns other nerd guy into other cool guy. Like, it's all this weird dream of like the audience is all nerds and we want to show them that they can all be cool guys eventually. I feel like like even the kids movies like Big Green or Mighty Ducks or whatever, it's like you're a loser, but hey, these losers turned into cool people.
I feel like that is the general
I guess there's a lot of wish fulfillment.
David Spade in this though? Ugh.
He's not. There are a lot of Spin Doctors songs, and
what's the one they played during that montage? Was it Little Miss Can't Be Wrong?
It's either Little Miss Can't Be Wrong or Two Princes. Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, exactly how much ska is in this?
Oh, unfortunately, little, and also
no ska.
Very little P-funk. Yeah.
You know what song makes some recurring appearances?
I Will Survive.
Thank God I'm a Country Boy by John Denver.
John, yeah. Goddamn Sunshine on My Shoulders, Denver. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
A song that I have unironically come to love.
Oh, it's very good.
You know what? I quite like John Denver.
Sun's coming up, cake's on the griddle. Great song.
I guess also.
Thank God I'm a Country Boy.
Pauly Shore is also kind of a Jeremy Piven character in this because he's been in college for like 6 or 7 years.
Yes,
and he's majored in everything. And
a real Van Wilder,
essentially. Yeah, like it's
if you like look at it, he is
a proto Van Wilder.
he is 6 to 7 years older than Carlo Gugino's character.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about what I would anticipate.
Yeah, he's in his mid twenties.
Yeah, like and like even leaving behind the, because they until the end where it kind of seems like maybe they will get together at some point down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Even leaving that behind, it's kind of weird that like a mid 20-year-old's best friend is a 17 or 18-year-old girl.
Yeah, but he's also a child, like a literal child. So.
Yeah, he's a man child.
But he's
right?
Wise. Yeah. He's wise beyond his years. I remembered, so when we were sitting down, I was telling Zach, I forgot this was a Thanksgiving movie, but 2 Thanksgivings ago, I stayed up all night baking for my guests, and I watched this movie, I had it on in the background, and the one thing that struck me the most on that watch through, because I watched this movie a ton as a kid, I don't know why.
Yeah, same, super same, yeah.
Yeah, was thinking like, Pauly Shore has Carla Gugino and Kelly Kapowski era Tiffany Thiessen.
Oh my god, I know.
Fighting over him essentially in this movie. Yeah. Like how, and then I watch it again and like he was really buff.
He
was a strong, like cut looking dude.
He was definitely like a different version of handsome, but I think his charisma is really what carries him still. Like
It's got really high charisma stats, but not so big strength or dexterity. Yeah.
No, I understand. You can tell he is he looks like if Carrot Top didn't take steroids, but actually just regular workout.
You know, I was just thinking that, I had in my head an image of that weird, gross, roided out Carrot Top. And I was no. And then I just transplanted Polly the Weasel Shore's face onto it, and it was weird and upsetting.
Yeah.
But
I mean, Polly doesn't look very good nowadays. I think all the whippets caught up with him, and it's not a good scene.
Whippets always catch up with you. Everybody knows this.
No good.
That's why I quit them after college. Quits Whippets.
You would hope. Unless you live in Philly and go to Philly's games. Yeah, that's...
Well, I mean, you know, so like you go to the, you're buying your 3 liters of soda at the dollar store for your party. And while you're there, you buy 10 cans of dollar store whipped cream to do whippets on the ride back with your roommate, and you suck down about 5 of them.
that's an equitable division,
because I gotta tell you, all the big box stores are in Columbus Boulevard, and it's a pain in the ass to get back from Columbus Boulevard during rush hour. So you better do some whippets.
You gotta bring a Game Boy or some whippets for sure.
I just always assumed that while doing whippets, you would also whip batteries at anyone.
I mean, it's a very Philly thing to do.
As history would indicate. Yeah.
You gotta remember while I was in school in Philly, both the Eagles and Phillies were good. So there was not true. A lot of battery whipping to be done.
Oh, so you lived in the dark times, really, for
the dark times for the rest of us,
Do you want to talk about the timeline, Zach?
I just have two.
The Phillies were ever good, but
they won the World Series 10 years ago. That's when I was there.
I have two more small Pauly Shore things. So Carla...
Oh, go for it.
Carla, when they get back to North Dakota, basically turns into Pauly Shore. Like, she adopts all his affectations and whatnot. And it's like...
As a very young person might do to someone they look up to.
Yeah, no, certainly. But, like, nobody can Pauly Shore except for Pauly Shore, so it's very rough. And then later, post mom makeover, as you again noted, the mom does it too. And it's just really, really hard. I think the grandpa even says something like... Pauly Shore there is at some point.
During the climactic Thanksgiving dinner scene, he pulls off a Pauly Shore monologue, and we can talk about that in a moment.
That's rough. And then the other one is Pauly Shore jumps on stage at a local square dance, and he says some crazy shit, and then he just repeats the phrase, buff the wood, buff the wood, buff the wood. Over
and all the and little over. Ladies start basically doing jack-off motions at their dance partners.
Really grinding and everything.
See, that's a good system.
Yep. And then, so he later does sing a sort of surprisingly enjoyable rendition of Thank God I'm a Country Boy, which we discussed, and it's very good.
There's a lot of farm hijinks in the movie.
Tons. Like driving corn harvesters and almost killing people
and shit. Feeding the pigs and whatnot. Learning how to milk a cow and talking about how they're like tits.
Yep.
Although he refers to them as cones throughout the movie.
Oh my god. I don't think anyone ever did this, but that is exclusively what they call boobs in this movie.
I think it might be a Madonna reference.
Sure, but that was 10 years before this movie. okay, so I think, Lee, you're going to talk about the timeline bits, right?
Yeah, so there's actually two odd timelines in this movie, as I alluded to. One of them is the timeline of just how fast everything in the movie occurs. So like
I presume it all takes over, like it all takes place over a Thanksgiving break, so like four days.
Becca, Carla Gugino's character Becca, she goes to college and becomes, you know, disillusioned by it by Halloween.
Yep.
And then between Halloween and Thanksgiving break, she completely reinvents herself and falls in love with being in California,
which,
and college.
To be fair, like, that is a college thing. Like, there were people in college, maybe even myself included, that like, oh, I can just be whatever now. And then you become like a real insufferable asshole freshman year. Like, oh, I'm this guy. Like, that's a thing you can do.
Okay, so her reinvention over the course of roughly 3 weeks is maybe not that weird. Yeah.
But it's quick. It's quick.
It still seems a little weird to me, but then again, quick. I probably didn't have a typical college experience, so.
Sure.
Not everyone's fathers are professors.
So. True facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, like, grew up in college towns, and I'm so ingrained in this bullshit that nothing surprises me.
Yeah, and you're always used to the rivalries between the locals and the students, and then they settled it with a big bike race at the end.
I don't think that's true, but okay.
Okay. Well, that's the plot of one of my favorite movies, so if you're telling me that movie's lying...
Is it Get Over It?
I was just going to say, no. That is easily says Get Over It, obviously. Yeah.
No, I won't... I'm sure some of our listeners might know what movie I'm talking about, but I won't reveal it in case we get to do it for the show.
Chariots of Fire. Yeah, okay, no, got it.
Not that one.
Well, that's like a bike race. Although I think it was nominated
for Best Picture the same year.
It's like a bike race.
Except worse.
So they get to... They get to half of the Dakotas. I can never remember which.
North. Still north.
North. I guess on Monday. And, like, on Monday, yeah, they hate Pauly Shore. On Tuesday, they start to warm to him. On Wednesday, he becomes, like, the golden child of the family.
Well,
and then
and
on
also
Thursday,
like a date rape victim. Yeah.
Right. And then on Thursday, he has to redeem himself and vanquish the villain.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a lot. It's a whole bunch. Yeah.
A whole lot happens in those 4 days. And then if you're watching it from the like in terms of the movie is 1 hour and 31 minutes long. And at 1 hour and 21 minutes, he gets drugged.
Yeah.
And then the actual conflict, climax, and denouement of the movie happen over the course of 10 minutes.
Yeah, the whole third act is 10 minutes. At the
Jesus
end of the second
Christ.
Act and the third act is maybe 9 and a half minutes. Yeah.
Wait.
I think...
Oh, Jesus, okay.
So I think I mentioned to Zach, like, I was having... I felt like the movie was really dragging, was one comment I made while I was watching it.
If you don't like all the weasel ad-libs, I mean...
Well, yeah. And then the immediate next comment was, what the fuck? This movie ends so fast. Yeah.
So you're essentially saying that Pauly Shore, I mean, Pauly the Weasel, Shore, is Solomon Grundy.
Thank you.
Like,
ooh.
Born on a Monday,
like,
married on a Tuesday,
christened,
died on a Wednesday.
Christened on a Tuesday, married on a Wednesday, took ill on Thursday, grew worse on Friday, died on Saturday, buried on a Sunday, and that was the end of Solomon Grundy. Yeah.
Wow, I'm so glad you know that whole thing, because I know none of it, and I quote it a lot.
Oh, my literature degree is useful.
Oh, I know it's an English poem, like folk poem, but
yeah,
like,
it's from mid-19th century. But yeah,
mostly I know Solomon Grundy as a like
a
third tier DC.
Yeah,
villain.
So third tier DC. Yeah. In the Justice League cartoon, he was like really interesting and engaging, I think. But we can
not
talk
in
about
the 60s and not in like the
oh,
70s.
Oh no, none of
Friends,
that bullshit. But I'm talking about like that cartoon that was popular,
like Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah, that was
a good show.
That was good stuff. Anyway.
Anyway,
Zach.
back to Son-in-Law.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just this movie has such it rushes everything, both in terms of the storyline and the actual movie.
So
like,
you are not wrong. This gets to my I'm calling it the rom-com hot take in this case.
Ooh. Okay.
I think actually this weirdly ties into Seth's movie in terms of like trying to cross
Ooh.
Genres a bit and like make it actually work. I think that. So this is definitely a comedy, but also like maybe not explicitly, but definitely a rom-com as well. And the structure of this as a rom-com is nearly flawless, I want to argue.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
So, this is a profoundly stupid movie. Like, there's no denying that. You cannot get around that.
His character's name, we haven't mentioned this at all. His character's name is Crawl.
Yeah.
Because that's Crawl? That's how I used to get back to the dorms freshman year, buddy.
Yeah. And the dad calls him Crotch the entire movie. Yeah, it's a whole
and
thing.
He even, like, he even uses a thresher to write his name in cursive in a in cornfield.
Inexplicably, like, perfect cursive, yeah. No. So
kids these days don't even know how to use cursive.
That's true. That's true.
I bet they did that practically, too, because they had no CGI budget for this movie.
Yeah, what is the budget on the... Zach, finish your thing, we'll talk about budget.
So there's two competing side conflicts. Both the sort of crazy weirdo love interest isn't liked by the traditional family, but he eventually wins them over, which is like a plot in of its own in some cases. And then the shitty hometown boyfriend sucks and ultimately drugs and stages infidelity thing, which like could again be like a movie in of itself. But then the main plot is that they don't have an actual relationship this whole time. Like, it's all been a cover so that you can avoid marrying asshole guy.
Right, and it's like the, you found, like, I never knew you were right in front of me the whole time.
And I mean, they telescope it, like, it's obvious, but that's a rom-com thing, too. Like, it, they do fall in love, presumably, at the end. And so, like, again, like, that's like, sort of...
Actually, I think there's a really healthy message at the end. It's like, whether or not they end up getting together, their intent is, we're going to take it slow and let this develop naturally.
Well, and all the good guys like won that, and the bad guys lost. Yeah, so...
Yeah, just like that version of Bridget Jones's Diary, where there's the avocados and...
Thank you, Manny.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
But yeah, like, I was impressed. Mm-hmm. Like, they squeezed, like, at least 2.5 rom-coms into avocados. one stupid movie.
Well, it's also two fish out of water movies.
There's
a really fast one at the start with Carlo Gugino.
Right.
And then there's a more drawn out one with Pauly Shore.
Yeah. And maybe it's like rose colored glasses for me. And I just, again, sort of remember this movie fondly, but like,
you are going to overrate this movie.
Oh, 100%. Yes. But like, yeah, they pulled off a lot. Like, they attempted a lot and they kind of made a lot of it work, I feel like. And I don't know, like, at the end I was surprised how deep the plot lines went when I never had previously sort of realized that that was a thing. Yeah.
So I wanted to, I mentioned earlier in the episode the blind spot that I think this movie shows off, or at least to me it showed off. Zach and I talked about this a little bit. There really aren't anymore, and I guess maybe a lot of Tyler Perry movies fit this.
A Madea Halloween,
kind of.
It's Thanksgiving. Madea Arbor Day.
It's the concept of, like, the plot is secondary.
Yeah.
The character driven comedies that are just star vehicles for a comedian.
Madea Passover.
So, like, this is around the time that, like, Jim Carrey got to be big, making movies where the plot was just a delivery system for his shtick.
Yep.
Sure.
I think
Pauly Shore makes at least 3 or 4 more movies that are exactly this. And, like, these are movies that I can't remember seeing anymore.
No. Yeah, well, we were talking about this, like, well, in general, comedies nowadays are either, like, the biggest thing in the world, like Anchorman or whatever, or they have all the same people and, like, are generally pretty good, but, like, they are sort of unremarkable in the populace opinion. So, yeah, I don't, like, there is no, like, grinded out comedian actor anymore. Like, no
I guess Melissa McCarthy does this sometimes, where a lot of her movies are sold basically on her being in the movie.
Yeah. It's true, but I don't, I mean, maybe I was exactly the audience of this growing up, but, like, I don't know that, I feel like a lot of those just sort of fly under the radar and nobody really cares. I don't know. Maybe that's the same as Pauly Shore. It probably is, honestly.
It's not something that I think I see very often anymore. Yeah. And it feels like, just thinking back, there's so many of these movies coming out in this time period. I mean, they're cheap to make.
Yeah.
And that's, so, like, that's probably has a lot to do with it. Yep. But
yeah, I was going to say, I think the amount of money they would spend on a movie was different back in the day. Now it's all, like, Duplass Brothers bullshit made for like $1 million, or like we're gonna spend $70 million
micro budget or like $300 million.
So all right, should we rate?
I think so.
Yeah,
I do want to mention, you brought up the grandfather and his, he even starts to talk like Pauly Shore by the end. He's the final character to come around to Crawl.
Sure enough, sure enough.
And when, at the climactic Thanksgiving dinner scene where the villains are trying to like play it off like they don't know what's going on, the grandfather goes off on this fucking just monologue about how it really, I'm paraphrasing, but it's like, it really grinds me up that two scuzzballs like you would munch on a main man Crawl. Like just really just throwing out the weird lingo.
It's uncomfortable.
That makes me uncomfortable,
And then Lane Smith throws out a line that I actually still use sometimes.
Oh my.
After he throws the bad guys out of his house, he goes, "Now let's munch on some grindies."
What is a grindy?
Food.
Doesn't matter, I think.
Guess just eat food. Let's eat some
Not like a
food.
Grindy or a submarine or a...
Not specifically.
A hoagie?
It's a very crazy line.
Yep. Oh, it is.
It has stuck with me since childhood.
Okay.
Yeah, we should rate this movie so we could stop talking
about
it, because we've talked about this movie a lot.
I mean, you guys seem to really love a Medea's Purim featuring Hamantaschen.
This is
whatever.
A Medea Thanksgiving, if anything.
No, it's a Medea's Purim featuring Hamantaschen.
You know, in the movie, for your consideration, a art house film called Home for Purim gets turned into a studio flick called Home for Thanksgiving. So you guys are channeling some Chris Guest right now.
Oh, boy. All right.
One wants to go home for Purim. What the hell are you talking about? That's ridiculous. Anyway.
So, real son-in-law.
Yes.
Pauly Shore. Mm-hmm. The weasel, buddy.
Yes, quite. Pauly Shore, the weasel.
Let's say, I think on its own merits, I'd say this movie's maybe like a 4.
Sorry, not to break in. IMDb on this was 5.7.
Oh, yeah.
5.7.
5.7.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I say my nostalgia pushes it to about a 5.5. So I'm going to give it a 5.5.
Oh, okay. Oh, thank God.
A lot, just inexplicably as a child.
Okay.
It was in heavy rotation.
Sure.
I'm sure as a young lad who liked catching Saved by the Bell on TV, the strip show toward the end was something that I enjoyed.
Oh dear!
Uh-huh.
No heavens,
Let's talk about your sexual awakening a little more.
let me spin my chair around and let's get a little gross.
the old Upper Decker.
It's a 5.5.
Okay,
I think
sure.
is totally Fair. Reasonable. Like, don't watch it, but like, it's fine. Like, it has its moments.
So you wouldn't suggest that I watch this film?
Put it on while you're folding laundry.
Knowing me.
Yeah, I was gonna say this is one where Seth,
okay.
you would not enjoy this.
Okay,
at all.
Good.
You should not
okay,
watch
good.
This.
Good to know.
Group,
good to
I
know.
I guess, Lee, before you rate Seth's, we had spoken of this earlier. So the budget on this, which Seth I think blew by maybe 5 or 6 times, is $20 million. Measly $1 million. However, it made 36. It was an almost double
successful
financial
movie.
Success.
Yeah. So if that movie cost $20 million, then they actually destroyed a working farm. That's the only way that that's possible.
Oh, they bought and burned down a farm. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Neil Young.
Just like the U.S. government
the
with subsidies.
Old man, look at my life.
That's a song about racism, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
who knows what Neil's thinking?
All right, fine.
Yeah, okay.
For Dead in Ohio.
Yeah.
Also, not
that's a completely different song about.
We can go deep on Kent State. I actually know a lot about that.
Yeah, Kent State is a really interesting phenomenon. Anyway,
Yeah,
it's crazy. Seth's movie. like I said earlier, I think I would be really into this movie if handled well. I think I'm going to give it an 8.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an 8. I think it sounds very, like, sounds enjoyable. It sounds like something I would watch. It sounds like something I would want to watch again.
Yeah, so, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would take the right director, cinematographer, writer, everything. Like, you need need a weird coalescence of competent people.
It would have to be a perfect storm of cast and crew.
Yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis would be playing Pauly Shore, playing the character. So.
Holy shit.
Oh shit! I would watch that.
Paul Thomas Anderson directed.
But then it's gonna be sad at the end. Too long.
DDL does method, so I'm just picturing him staring into his fridge at his own house at 2 a.m. going, but no, but better, but it's just really.
I munch on your grindies.
There it is.
I wish that could be our cut.
They can't all be winners. Zach, give us some numbs.
Give us some numbs. Let me munch on them numbs.
Pretend we're at the dentist and give us some numbs.
I really hate the fact that I have to shorten words.
inscrutable. Yeah, Lee was right. OG. OG is getting a 7. 7-2. I'm going 7-2 on that.
Lee was right. I'm going to rank it significantly higher.
Like, up a significant amount higher. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I stand by it. It is only nostalgia. But I, like, all of the movies we've done thus far that I remember enjoying as a youth have not lived up. And this one was, like, not all that offensive and was, like, genuinely fun. So,
they shoot horses, don't they? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, well, I had never seen that one, but the first time was enough.
That's a very youthful film.
Oh, well, sure. Seth's faked movie, I fully agree. I mean, you're threading the needle on this one for sure. Like,
oh, yeah,
it's going to be tough, but... Yeah, if you pull it off.
You're going to heaven with that camel, baby.
Baby! If it works, it's going to be amazing. So I will also go, I think, an 8. Solid 8. Oh, wow. Yeah. No, I think it's got legs. As long as it, like, really takes its time and we do it right, I think it'll be great.
Oh, yeah. Like, it might have to be, like, 5 or 6 years in production.
Yeah. But, like, those movies always suck, so, like, we're gonna have to really fire a bunch of writers and then, like, really find a good one. Mm-hmm.
Fair. So,
all right.
Well, yeah, what's next week?
Yeah, so next week, we got you, Lee, doing The Tailor of Panama. Which I, before we started, I said, I don't know, this movie looks pretty dope, and Seth was quick to shut me on down on that one.
Yep. Prepare to be surprised.
Well,
prepare to be surprised.
I have no fucking idea what
this
movie
is. Yeah, we haven't even given you actors
neither,
yet.
No,
we
no.
have not. So.
Yeah,
we'll do that.
Prequel to Phantom Thread, maybe? I don't know.
Hey, yeah. Well.
Oh.
why does DDL show up in fucking everything?
Yeah, I mean, there's a Pierce Brosnan in there, so have fun with that.
Yeah.
Ooh.
There's a 90s era James Bond for sure.
You mean Remington Steele's in this movie?
It was a run
Pierce
by
Brosnan
footing.
And Jeffrey Rush and Brendan Gleeson and
G. Rush.
What?
Holy Wait, shit. Brendan Gleeson?
Watch this
and
movie.
Jimmy Wowzers. Lee Curtis. And those are all the actors I can pull up off my head. But
I was like, you're just making this up. You're just naming people. Damn.
Well, I'm very looking forward to next week's episode being over so I can watch this movie. That cast sounds like a can't,
yeah,
can't miss.
Again, prepare to be surprised.
Feels like surprise is euphemistic for disappointed, but we'll find out.
Usually.
Yeah. All right, well, I think we should say to our Lord and Savior, Pauly Shore. Hey, buddy. I don't know.
This is
no, that wasn't any good. That was terrible.
No, that was very good.